We continue our learning of the Nishmas David b'Menachem and Chad Yaakov b'Pidchos Eliyahu and Zvachim Perik Yud Aleph Mishnah Zayin. What type of kelim require marika ushtifa, the boiling, a type of hagala and the rinsing? So the Mishnah here says echad shebishel bo, whether it's the kli that you cooked the karbanos inside, vechad she'era l'socha roseach, or it wasn't the kli that you cooked the karbanos inside, but rather you had a kli and you poured from another kli. Boiling hot carbon meat into the second kli. So these are examples. We may know this from Hilchos Shabbos. The kli that you use to cook, so that's what we call the kli rishon. So whether it's a kli rishon that had the carbonos cooked inside, or it wasn't a kli rishon, but rather it was what we call irui kli rishon. It actually fell into a kli sheni, but it was being poured, the boiling hot carbon meat was being poured from a kli rishon into a kli sheni. Both of those kalim require marikut shtifa. And the Mishnah then says, echad kachim kachim vechad kachim kalim. This applies, according to the Tanakhama at least, whether it's the meat of kachim kachim, chatas or asham, or of course the ola we don't eat, or kachim kalim, let's say shlamim, those kalim, those metal kalim require that had hot, that was had the carbonos inside, cooked inside, or poured into them from a kli rishon. Mirika Ushtifa. And if it were kli cheres, earthenware vessels, they require shvira. As we know, they have to be broken. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachim Kalim, Einan Tu'unin Mirika Ushtifa. He believes if you have Kalim and Kachim Kalim were cooked inside, they do not need Mirika Ushtifa. Now, why should that be? After all, the same problem exists. If you have Kachim Kalim, so you cooked shlamim in a pot. So that pot, after 2 days and a night, that pot, anything absorbed into the walls of the pot is going to be noser. And if you now use that to cook some other shlamim meat, so the taste that's absorbed into the walls, which is now noser taste, it's been passed already 2 days, and now will come into the new shlamim you're cooking, and it will make it, and it will ruin it. You won't be able to eat it. So it should need some type of koshering. So the Mishnah is saying that according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need what we call marika ushtifa, but you will need hagala. Now we've said several times that marika and hagala pretty much synonymous. So they are to some extent, but there's a little bit of a nuanced difference between marika and hagala. Hagala is where you're using boiling hot water only. Marika rather is where you're using boiling hot water only. That's a marika. Hagala can be done even with something else. Hagala can be done with wine. If you have even diluted wine, so let's say that's our classic koshering. You want to do hagala for Pesach. So I don't have to use hot water. I have boiling hot wine, and that I want to kosher the pot. That way, that would be okay. But marika specifically requires hot water, chamin, and it cannot use any other liquid in order to kosher it. So that's why when Shimon says, kachim kalim, don't need marika ushtifa, what he's saying is like this. You don't need marika, which means you don't have to use water. You can use something else. Hagala is necessary to kosher it, of course. Even kachim kalim, even shlamim, of course, you have to get that out of the walls of the kli. But he says it doesn't need shtifa, which means when we do hagala, so there's a minog after hagala to rinse things off in cold water. But that's not necessary. But when it comes to kachim, there's mariku shtifa. Shtifa is rinsing off in cold water. That's an obligation. So what Rabbi Shimon is coming to say is that applies to kachim kachim, but not kachim kalim. So kachim kalim, it's enough to do plain hagala, like as if it weren't karbanos at all. You don't have to use dafka water. You can use wine if you want to boil it up, and you don't have to rinse it off afterwards with cold water. So that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, im bishel bo mitchilas haregel, yevashel bo es kol haregel. V'chachamim omrim ad zman achila. So here we have machlokes, Rabbi Tarfon and the chachamim regarding the regel. What's the issue when it comes to a regel, when it comes to one of the shows Shrugalim? So the kelim are being used constantly. People are coming up to Yushalayim, and their karbanos that have to be brought. month, everyone has to bring, let's say, the Shalmei Chagiga. That's an obligation for people to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. And you have Shalmei Simcha Shlomi, the people are bringing Karbanos all the time. So Rabbi Tarfon was of the opinion that if you cooked in a kli from the beginning of the regal, if you had kachim that were cooked in that kli rishon, he says you don't need to do Marika or Shtifa the entire Chag, only at the end. Why? Because since you're constantly using it, every day's cooking purges the walls of the kli from anything that's been absorbed, and nosar, leftover taste from the karbon from the day before, will never get absorbed into the walls. Anything that's been absorbed eventually will be purged before it can even reach the state of nosar. Shlamim can be eaten for a day, for 2 days, and a night in between. So by that time, you before the 2 days was over, the next day you already used that kli again to cook. So there's no problem, and you don't need to do Meruku Shtifa until the end of the Chag. V'chachamim omrim, no, adzman achila. And the Chachamim say, you can go on a regel to the end of the day, until the end of the achilas, the end of the achila of, or the end of the, well, the day, it depends on what the carbon is. But a shlamim, you can go till the end of 2 days. But that's it. You can't assume that you can go the whole regal without Mirkur Shtifa. If you have a kli, so you can go with a shlamim, you can go up until 2 days, and the night in between. A carbon chatas, that's only one day in the night, and then it requires mikru shtifa. And even if you did any bishul in between, your chachamim would not say, well, then you've pushed it off, you don't have to worry about mikru shtifa, and you can wait till, if you're constantly cooking, you can wait till the end of the chag. No. You have to do mikru shtifa that even on a chag, even on the regel, when you're constantly using them, but you have to make sure to do mikru shtifa before it comes lidei noser, shlamim, a day and a night in between, and chatas, a day and a night. Ask the Mishnah, Mariku Shtifa, how is it done? So, Marika, Kimarikas Hakos. Marika means that I am cleaning out, I'm purging the inside. So the same way, when it comes to, let's say, when people have the minhag to, people have to follow the halacha to bench on a cup of wine. So bench on a cup of wine, you may have used that cup of wine, let's say, to make kiddush. So the halacha is you have to rinse it out. You're not supposed to use a dirty cup and pour in wine. You're supposed to rinse it out. Some people do that when it comes to the dad kosis of the Seder. We should be rinsing them out between each and every kos. So here, Marika, now, that doesn't mean I'm rinsing, that doesn't mean Marika means I'm using cold water. What it means is that the same way when it comes to the kos of birka, if it's dirty, I'm supposed to rinse that the inside. So Marika is using boiling hot water to clean out, to purge the inside. Ushtifa kishtifa sakos. And shtifa, though, that's rinsing with cold water. That's like you would rinse off a cup, which means on the outside, like when you're washing your cup to make it to make it clean, not necessarily to use, but to clean it off. It means you wash the outside. So that's shtifa. So marika is the inside, shtifa is the outside, and marika bechamin ushtifa petone. And marika is where you use hot water, and shtifa is where you use cold water. And then the Mishnah concludes, v'hashfud, v'haaskala mag'ilan b'chamin. When it comes to a spit that we use to grill the meat on the fire, or an askala, which is the grill, where also we grill the meat, and that was carbon meat, let's say, mag'ilan b'chamin, you can do hagala in hot water, and that is able to purge whatever taste that is inside. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah here? So we mentioned in the past, the general rule when it comes to kashering, that is kibolo kach polto. The way a kli absorbs into its walls, whatever the taste is, that's the way it's purged. So that means if you have a kli that's used with boiling hot water, I have a pot that usually has a soup inside, I want to kasher that from treif, I want to kasher that for Pesach, I have to use boiling hot water till it boils all over the top. Okay? What if I use something on a grill, on the fire, and the flame in the oven? So that you have to do what we call libun. It has to be tavi rabaish. That's how you purge it. It was used on the fire. You have to purge it with fire. So the chiddush of the Mishnah here is, here I have a spit, here I have a grill. No doubt that if I roasted my carbon meat, I obviously used it on the fire. So why would I be able to kasher the spit with boiling hot water, with hagala, or the grill with boiling hot water, when I should be using fire? So the answer is that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. It is sufficient to use hagala, boiling hot water, to kasha the spit and kasha the grill, even though you normally use it in fire. And that's because of the, and we mentioned this in the past, and that's because when it comes to the carbon, the carbon is what we call heterabala. What's heterabala? When the carbon chatas, or the shlamim, got absorbed into the walls on the first day. So what's wrong with that? Is that treif? It's not treif. It's perfectly kosher. There's no problem with that at all. After a day and a night for the carbon chatas, or after 2 days and a night in between for the shlamim, now becomes noser. But when it got absorbed into the walls, it was kosher. Now, you want a kosher, it becomes usur. So that gives us the right, since when it got absorbed, it was kosher, we have a leniency when it comes to koshering, and I don't need to use fire. So that's different than, let's say, when treif gets absorbed into the walls. I want to kosher something from tarfus, so then that's what we call isurabala. That's something that was prohibited from the very beginning that got absorbed into it. So that's why we have to be more strict with the koshering. One of the classic questions that comes up for Pesach in this regard is chametz. How do we treat chametz? When chametz got absorbed into the walls of the oven, let's say, how strict do I have to be when it comes to the oven? Can we turn the oven up to the highest temperature, which is really no different than hagala? Or do I have to use a self-clean or something where I'm really, really using fire in order to kasher it? So that may depend on how we view chametz. When chametz gets absorbed into the walls, it's heterabala, isn't it? Chametz is kosher all year, so then maybe it's enough to turn the oven to the highest temperature, and that for an hour, let's say, that will kosher it. On the other hand, maybe it's not true. Maybe chametz is like tarfus. At the end of the day, all year long, many Rishonim say, it's still called chametz, bread is chametz. The fact that it's only Asra on Pesach, it still has the name chametz, it's no different than tarfus. And therefore, we need to use the higher level, higher degree, no pun intended, the higher degree of types of koshering, which is what? Which is using fire, and something like a self-clean would be able to kosher. Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Ches. Bishul bo kachim v'chulin. Let's say you have in a kli, you cooked kachim, karbanos, and chulin. So chulin is not a problem. Kachim becomes noser at some point. Oh, kache kachim v'kachim kalim. Or let's say you cook together in the kli, let's say the flesh from a karban chatas and a flesh from a karban shlonim. So says the Mishnah, im yesh bahen b'no sein tam. If there is, let's say in the case of the kachim and the chulim, there's enough of the basar kachim to give taste into the flesh, into the meat of the chulin, of the non-kachim, or let's say there's enough of the kache kachim to give a taste as you're cooking it into the kachim kalim, hare ha-kalim ne'echolim kachamurin. So then we have to treat the kalim, the more lenient ones, like chamur, like where that the one that is more strict. And usually when it comes to no sein tam, we usually assume yo sein tam is where the ratio is not 1 in 60, it's 2 in 60, 3 in 60, or the like. That indeed we assume is no sein tam. So here we're going to treat, if there is going to be a taste of the kachim into the chulin, so then we have to treat all of the chulin like kachim, which is what? We have to consider the fact that if it's a shlamim, let's say, that was cooked, after 2 days and a night in between, you can't eat it anymore. There's regular meat in there that's not carbonous at all. I should be able to eat for as long as I like. So that, too bad, because now what I got absorbed into the chulin is kachim, is carbonos. Or let's say you have a carbon chatas that got cooked with the, in this kliri shown, with the shlamim. So the carbon chatas becomes noser after a day and a night. Shlamim not till 2 days and a night in between. So what's the halach? I have to eat this whole mixture by the end of the first day and the first night. And not like shlamim, I have to treat it like a chatas, because some of the chatas got absorbed into the shlamim. Another chumah that carbon chatas has over shlamim is that it has to be eaten within the azara. Shlamim can mean the whole city of Yerushalayim. So if we have some of the chatas got absorbed into the shlamim, so then you have to eat it within the walls of the azara. Who can eat it? Can the owner eat it? If it's a shlamim, yes, but a chatas, no. Only zichrei kuna, only a male konim. So that would be, so not only is that law of one day and a night, but it has to be in the azara, has to be zichrei kuna. That's if the shlamim absorb from the karmen chatas. The Gemara says we should add on that there's an obligation of merika ushtifa. Of course, that what would that mean? That means, let's say in the case of chulin, basar kachin and basar chulin got mixed together, so then we have to make sure that if there's no same tam into from the kachin into the chulin, and the chulin, let's say, doesn't nullify the kachin, so then the laws of merika ushtifa would apply to the kli itself. After some time, there's going to be a nosar problem. Let's say there's no problem of no same time. So then you don't have to eat the kachim kalim like the chomer, like the more strict. I don't have to eat the shlamim like the karmen chatas, for example. If the shlamim did not absorb, there wasn't enough of chatas in there for the shlamim to absorb it. And the einan tunim riku shtifa, and you would not require riku shtifa, the purging and the rinsing. The Gemara explains that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The Mishnah obviously follows Rabbi Shimon, because according to the Chachamim, all types of kachim, the kalim need merikus shtifa, kachim kalim as well. So the fact that the Mishnah here says that if there's no same tam of the chatas into the shlamim, then you don't have to worry, and that kli doesn't need merikus shtifa because it's shlamim, it's kachim kalim. That's obviously Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The einon postlim b'maga. Now this is something that the Gemara added on really in the Reisha, which means postlim b'maga means the following. When it comes to a karban chatas, it says anything that touches the karmen chatas meat becomes like that. What does that mean? If the karmen chatas is pasul, so then whatever touches it is pasul as well. If it's a kosher, so then you have to be strict. Of course, eat it like the karmen chatas. So if you have, and this would be true when it comes to other kachim as well, any food that touches kachim and absorbs from it becomes kodesh like them. But if they're pasul, so let's say your karmen chatas or your shlamim became pasul. So now you have chulin meat that gets absorbs some of that. So the chulin meat becomes pasul. So what the Mishnah here is saying is that in the Reisha, in the first case where there's no same time, if there's no same time, and that the chulin, let's say in the kachim, and the kachim was pasul for whatever reason, the chulin becomes a pasul as well. You can't eat it. But if it's not no same time, then and they don't post the mamaga. So then the mere touching of the chulin to the kachim is not going to make the chulin pasul. That's not going to be a problem. Then the Mishnah says rokik shenaga barokik. Let's say you have a wafer, which is a type of mincha, but it was pasul, and it touched a rokik, a wafer, a mincha that was kosher, and absorbed, the kosher absorbed from the pasul. They were both hot, let's say, or bachaticha. Let's say you have a slice of kachin meat that touched another piece of meat that was pasul, and it absorbed, the kosher one absorbed from that which was pasul. They were both hot. Lo kol rokik v'lo kol chatichos asurin. The touching of these, we don't say that the whole wafer is asur, the whole slice of meat is asur. Eino asur ela makom shebala. The only thing that's asur is the place that absorbs. So this is important when it comes to solids. When it comes to solids, that you have a piece of, let's say you have a piece of meat and a piece of cheese, a hot cheese one is on top of that. It doesn't necessarily asur the whole hamburger. You slice off maybe the top of the hamburger. But when it comes to solids, we don't assume like liquids where it gets mixed together completely and we have to think about how much was taste was really absorbed into the whole mixture. Here there's no mixture because it's two solids. They are hot, so they do absorb a little bit. They absorb the top half, the klipo or the top half, whatever it may be, that has to be removed. Sometimes in certain cases, we have to remove kidei klipo. We assume, let's say when I'm pouring a liquid, pouring from a hot liquid onto something, we assume that is mevashel kidei klipa, only the top layer. In this case, we assume we have to remove kidei netila, the absorption, and the isser therefore extends how much? Kidei netila, the thickness of a finger around the area that where it contacted it, and that is the amount that has to be removed, but not, we don't prohibit the whole wafer, we don't prohibit the whole slice of meat.